boys and girls, welcome to Awesome Media. We're back. It's been a while. So as always, I'm Michael Lindenbaum, and joining me is your undisputed champion, the British baller himself, Mr. Ben Taylor.
The what?
The undisputed champion, the British brawler.
Oh, British brawler. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were calling me the British baller, and I was going to be like, stop that immediately.
No, I said brawler. I do have a cough drop in my mouth. So.
Okay.
It slurs the speech a little bit.
Okay.
But, man, it's been a month since
we've done
it. Last time we were doing this, we're on the stage at Awesome Con with Brian Massey and Ben Penrod. You were arguing with a guy who kept going on after NXT.
Yeah, about why does Vince screw over NXT call-up so much? And we answered the same thing 19 times, which was, we don't know.
Which actually, ironically, in the past month since that, Tyler Breeze is now a full-time NXT roster member.
Yeah, you know that thing that no one else but me said would happen?
I brought it up too.
Now, you brought up, would it happen? And everyone else was like, I don't think so because of his contract. And I was like,
It hasn't been confirmed yet officially, but Killian Dain is going to be full-time NXT. Alexander Wolf is now full-time NXT UK.
Yep.
So those are three guys going from main roster to NXT in that time. In that time, Lars Sullivan messages in this posts in a message board had come out, which were racist and insensitive. So WWE is fined him $100,000 and sent him the sensitivity training. And just the other day, he deleted his Twitter account.
Can we point out, Lars Sullivan posted racist, anti-minority things on message boards and in Twitter.
And homophobic.
But they are sending him to Saudi Arabia to beat up three Mexicans. Meanwhile, AEW is banning homophobes and transphobes. So, take that for what you will.
Yeah. And then, next up, in contract talk in the last month, Dash Wilder has had 2 months added to his contract because the Revival have pretty much made it known that they're not going to re-sign. Luke Harper has had about, I believe, 6 months added to his contract, so his contract is going to expire around WrestleMania time, and they're pretty much going to pay him to stay at home. Because apparently Vince McMahon doesn't like Luke Harper. He just made up his mind that no matter how good Luke is, it's going to be bad. Which, I'm sorry, that really sucks. Because I like Luke Harper as a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Lio Rush, who was offered a contract, a 3-year deal, for $300,000 a year, which he turned down and says, no, I want it doubled.
Right, let's talk about the whole Lio Rush situation.
Oh, there's so much more to that to Lio Rush.
Because him just wanting double money is not all of that story.
There's also the fact that he's bringing his family and friends without credentials to the shows backstage. And they're getting unruly, and I can tell you which one is the one that is the loudest, but we're not going to say it on here. WGGR. I'm sorry, did I spit out a...
I hear nothing.
Yeah. But, so you got that problem. There's the problem with his attitude in the locker room, where he has his wife with him backstage, and he's going around saying that, oh, they're going to get the next reality TV show. He's had conversations with Finn Balor, who told him, hey, back off, you know your role, which he ignored. He outright lied to Mark Henry's face when Mark Henry was trying to give him advice. And when they're on the European tour, he refused to carry the superstars' bags and set up in his hotel room refreshments for the wrestlers so they can have a place to chill out when they get to the hotel. Which
right,
is
so
that is normally a custom in the business when you're first starting out.
It is a custom. However, I think the carrying of the bags needs to stop. I am 100% behind Leo on that one.
But the way he put it, though, is not the best way.
I disagree. It made the fucking point. And for those of you who missed what we're talking about, Leo was told that he, because he wasn't willing to carry bags and things like that for the senior wrestlers, that they weren't happy, people weren't happy with it. I believe that policy needs to go away. Leo put it in the most succinct way possible. And it's because Leo, at least, sees the image of a young black man carrying an older white man's bags as horribly racist. And I kind of agree. Gonna be honest. And in order to stop that, they should just stop the bag carrying whatsoever. It shouldn't be a black man for an older black wrestler forcing a white person or an Asian or a Mexican, or it shouldn't be any senior wrestler forcing a younger wrestler to carry their bags. Now, waiting backstage with water to make sure that the people that you're training with have all that stuff ready for them, you need to be doing that. You should be doing that as their fucking friend anyway, right?
Yeah, and actually one of the things I learned briefly in MCW was that if you're riding with somebody, you pay for their gas. You pay for their food. You pay care of the
person.
You pay
for the gas and food, and they pay for the car.
Yeah. It's like, it's courtesy and respect to those around
you. And one of the things that Leo said is he couldn't afford to pay for gas and food.
That's a him problem.
Yeah, that's very much a him problem. Because
and Mark Henry nailed that one on the money, and so did Booker T. Mm-hmm. Booker T went after Leo Rush.
Now, Leo did. Now, again, Leo had a point in that Bobby Lashley's current run wouldn't be near as popular without Leo. So why isn't Leo seeing the cut of the t-shirt money?
Because it's Bobby Lashley's name on it.
But he's got a point.
Oh, no. He definitely has a point because he's the one who's coming up with the catchphrases.
Yeah.
But it's Bobby Lashley's name on the shirt.
Catchphrases single-handedly pulled Bobby Lashley out of a shit storm. Right? I've never... Again... I think the exact quote is, "I've been sent to live TV shows and TVs and forced to pay my own rental for 5 days, as well as a hotel, while not making enough money to do so. Walking around broke in the biggest sports entertainment industry there is, while having two kids and a wife to support." Now, I don't know about you, right? But if you're traveling with someone and you're getting offered $300,000 a year, that should be enough to travel and eat and share hotel rooms and shit.
Well, let me throw this out there. What else have we seen Leo Rush do on social media? Yeah, blank. Yeah.
He's spending that money on other things.
Yeah, he's making himself music videos and trying to create a rap career. He's trying to live that lifestyle. Dare I say, he's trying to live that Ric Flair lifestyle.
Yeah.
Where, you know, except for the fact that Ric Flair was...
The point being...
Yeah.
That while Leo does have a few salient points... Don't get me wrong. He does have a few salient points. T-shirt money, the young men carrying the older wrestlers' bags. Those are good points to have. The rest of his argument is bullshit, and he deserves all of the crap he's getting.
Yeah, and latest rumor is that he's going to go down to NXT. But if I remember,
latest rumor is he's done.
Well, they want to send him down to NXT. But the thing is, though, is if I remember right, he signed his contract. Oh, now my laptop tells me that we're live. After the fact, we've only been live for like 20 minutes, or whatever. But if I remember right, he signed in 2016, mm-hmm. August 2016, which means his contract is up this August. I think right before SummerSlam 2, or right after SummerSlam's over.
Yeah.
So you got about 3 months left. Yeah, about 3 months of his contract left. You know WWE's trying to re-sign him at the same time. But if they re-sign him, they're going to set him down to NXT.
Why are they trying to re-sign him, though?
Talent. I mean, he got better on the mic since I saw him in MCW. I will give him that.
Yeah, but...
But outside
just
that...
Just because someone's good on the mic doesn't make them worthwhile as a... acquisition.
I think it also has to do with AEW now.
Why? He'd get buried in AEW. He'd get absolutely... Now, don't get me wrong. AEW is a fucking goldmine for anyone that used to have the letters WWE in their fucking contract. Right? It is a goldmine for people that want to leave WWE, go over there and get an easy fucking payday. Because all of the anti-WWE marks that are like, AEW is the best thing ever, we'll fucking get to that. I'm just going to start cheering them and buying their shit because they're ex-WWE and they saw the light and joined the other side or whatever. Right?
Yep.
But if his reputation got him buried in a locker room like WWE's locker room, it's gonna get him even more buried in a locker room that has like 50% of people that used to work for New Japan. There's this thing called Young Lions or Young Boys. I don't know if you've heard of them in New Japan, but they're basically other wrestlers' bitches.
Yeah. And not only that, but like the only thing I could theoretically see Leo do in AEW is rekindle his feud with Joey Janela from CZW. That's the only thing I could legitimately see.
I mean, true, but Joey Janela's got better feuds right now.
Like, John Moxley.
Jimmy fucking Havoc.
Yeah. He's got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. And that's not a joke about Leo's size. It's just, there's more money to be made elsewhere than Leo fucking Rush.
Yeah, and not only that, but the other thing that also buried Leo was the fact that he did the interview with Fightful.com. Mm. And he essentially, in a way, buried WWE while as a WWE employee.
That's becoming a bit more commonplace now, though, if you noticed.
Yeah.
I mean, even people at the top of the card are kind of burying WWE.
Mostly on the creative side of things, though. They're going after that. You know, it's why Sasha still hasn't come back.
I mean, like, after after Double or Nothing, like, oh, a five-hour... Becky tweeted, oh, a five-hour pay-per-view, a.k.a. what the WWE calls short.
Yep.
For those listening on the podcast, that was me shrugging.
Shrug. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
The other thing, since we're talking Leo Rush and his contract, right? It came out literally today. I think.
Maybe I haven't seen today's news yet.
Dave Meltzer reporting on Wrestling Observer Radio that some WWE talents have asked for their releases. We will name no names.
Well, we've known that because we've been hearing that ever since AEW.
Hold on. Got started. Hold on. Hold on.
Go on. Go on.
And when pressed for who, he would not reveal who. He revealed that it would take at least two hands to count the amount. We're looking at least 11, 12 people have asked for their result, for their releases.
I think it is pulling it up right now on my end. Yep, I'm reading it right now. His quote was, "And those who haven't could be counted on one or two hands." Mm-hmm. Meaning they could be tag teams and they counted as one.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, and that, here's the thing.
But here, I'm
not. We've been hearing it since January when AEW became official. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's when all the talk of Revival, Sasha, you know, Luke Harper, several others about wanting to requesting the release. Talk about maybe the Usos, Randy Orton's name came up. It's like that thing we talked about like a couple months ago where it's like, just because AEW's here doesn't mean you could just go, well, this person has to leave and this person has to leave.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's already fantasy booking AEW to be the next WWE.
No, they're booking AEW to be the next WCW. Which is bringing in a lot of ex-WWE guys.
Which is funny because everyone's saying that WWE is becoming WCW. Which I don't understand that comparison.
I don't get that.
I don't get that at all. I was like, that doesn't make sense. But okay, think what you want to think, you know?
It's coming WCW as in the
creative side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas
the ridiculousness AEW, of some of the booking.
Yeah, whereas AEW could become the WCW by just bringing you constant WWE talents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, I don't know.
I gotta ask, because I know we're gonna go into AEW in a little bit. Bray Wyatt and the Firefly Funhouse.
I'm all for it.
All for it. So as you know,
I said as much at AwesomeCon.
But now that we've seen more,
I'm still all for it.
That mask.
It's only gotten better.
I know, dude.
The only thing I don't like is the mask. The in-ring look looks a wee bit too close to the Joker.
Now, see, I haven't seen that much of the in-ring stuff because, as you know,
it's that thing where he has the mask and he's got the long coat and the pants. Hmm. It looks a bit like
Heath Ledger Joker.
No, it looks like the comic book Joker when he sliced his own face off and kind of stapled it back on.
Hmm.
It looks exactly like that.
Interesting.
Even the clothes look a little bit like that. So.
Because, yeah, I remember us talking about it at AwesomeCon. I wanted to get your feel on how it's evolved since that. Because it's been a month.
So. I was for it then. It's only gotten better. But it's getting to the point now where they need to get him back in the fucking ring. And when they bring him back, he needs to not be allergic to winning.
So, but one of the things, actually, that I've read in the last week or two is that apparently Bray Wyatt, he actually helps a lot of guys with their promos and stuff backstage. He's been doing some of that. That just tells you that he creatively, he really knows what he's doing. He's able to utilize that to help others you know, try to get their promos out there, though, which is kind of cool when you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah.
So good on Bray. Good on Bray. Not on TV for a while, but hey, you're able to do something. So.
Well, he was hurt. I mean.
Yeah. Well, and then he also had the kid with JoJo.
Yeah, but he was, most of it was him being hurt.
Yeah. So, let's just go right into it, shall we? AEW Double or Nothing.
More the latter than the former, let's be honest. Okay, so it's time for a critical look at Double or Nothing. Right? There's a lot of people out there that have said Double or Nothing was a success on all levels. That it succeeded not only as an event, but as a mission statement. And I have to wonder if we were watching the same program.
See, I actually agree with certain points of why it was successful, but there were things that did irk me a bit. And as I mentioned to you before we started going, before we went live on Twitch for the free stuff, I was watching Cody versus Dustin and the Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros. One of the things that bothered me a lot, just rewatching those, camera angles. The way they did their cuts and how they went from one camera to another, you know, it wasn't the cleanest. You know, that was something that kind of bothered me. There were spots where they should have had
I think that will get cleaner as the team work together more.
Yeah.
And they get used to each other's shorthand more.
Oh, yeah.
And they discover their own style.
Which they got like 3 more pay-per-views before they actually hit television.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. So, one of the big... one of the big mission statements that AEW has is to not be WWE. Okay? If that is indeed one of your mission statements, stop pretending like pre-shows don't exist. Stop it. 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 Quote from Frankie Kazarian's Twitter. Let me pull it up so I know that I'm getting the quote exactly right.
While we're at it, stop it.
Yes, stop it. Stop it, stop it. Right, to quote Frankie Kazarian. Double or Nothing is history. We all made history together. The first match of the first ever AEW PPV featured SCU, and we are so honored to forever have that.
There was a battle royal.
And a singles match.
And a singles match. Which they even touted on the commentary as the first official AEW singles match.
Mm-hmm.
Which was Kip Sabian versus...
Sammy Guevara.
Guevara, yeah.
Shout out to my boy Kip, representing the UK.
Hell of a match.
Hell of a match.
Hell of a match. I enjoyed that match. And I think, and also, we should probably say this right now real quick.
Let me focus on this, right? Now, I know that Frankie put in his... thing, the first match of the first AEW pay-per-view, because the others were on free TV, right?
Yep.
This is just more spin to make SCU look good. Fucking stop it. Give the credit to the people that deserve it. If you don't want to crown a battle royal as your first match, give the credit to Kip Sabian and fucking Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, especially, Especially the fact that the Battle Royal had title implications to it.
We'll fucking get to that.
But also, I want to throw this out there before we go further. Number one thing that you and I both agree on, the wrestling matches, we definitely enjoyed the grabs. 100% enjoyed the grabs.
Right. That's, again, that's in a point I'm bringing up later.
But.
Right, so.
Pre-show doesn't exist, apparently, except it did exist.
Yes. It existed so fucking hard that the very first match had title implications. A title that hadn't even been revealed. The Battle Royal had so many people in it that have been featured on the show that basically launched this brand of being the Elite. MJF, be it, what's his face? Joey Janela.
Yeah, MJF, Joey Janela.
Hangman Page. Like, those three alone those three alone have been focal points of being the Elite for months. Which means that whatever match they're in matters, because being the Elite is basically what helped launch this entire fucking promotion. Don't tell me that a pre-show that involves a match that has title implications on it doesn't matter. That's what they do to the cruiserweights all the time in WWE, and they wonder why no one gives a shit about the cruiserweight title. Fuck that. Stop doing it. Yeah. Also, we're talking about the Battle Royal. Plan your fucking spots better. And no, I'm not talking about Joey Janela taking a choke slam from Luchasaurus on the top of his head. I'm talking about spots going off at the same time. There was a moment where something happened and we missed Joey Janela getting a lit cigarette stapled to his forehead by Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah. Just
all of a sudden there was a cigarette stapled to his forehead. Like, what? How do you fuck that up? It's not like you planned this Battle Royal yesterday. This is the first show you've ever done. You've had months to plan this Battle Royal. And again, good graps. We'll get to that fucking later.
I have one question, though. There was a guy who was in that Battle Royal. Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
How many promotions has this guy wrestled for?
All of them.
if it's been grown.
So, AEW, I'm going to say this now. And it's probably going to come up later. Don't fuck up Jimmy Havoc. The send-off Jimmy got at Alexandra Palace at Super Strong Style 16 from Progress, which is the main promotion where he made his name in the UK, was one of the most emotional things I've experienced in wrestling. Don't fuck that up. Have Jimmy Havoc mean something in your fucking company, please. On to another Englishman, Kip Sabian, Sammy Guevara. Fucking great match. 10 minutes. Just loved it.
They may
need to rename some of Kip Sabian's moves. Because most of his signature moves are named after Harry Potter shit. Like, he's got the Crucianus late knee brace, and his finish is called the Deathly Hallows. Like, mainly because they don't want to get sued, probably.
Makes sense, you know.
Then we get into the main card. And we get to SoCal Uncensored against Strong Hearts. Great graps.
It was a great match. I didn't really know the Strong Heart team from what I was hearing.
You weren't supposed to. They were.
From what I was hearing from commentary, they were just a team that was also kind of just put together. They hadn't really tagged together much. So, but I enjoyed what I saw. I definitely liked what I saw out of the guys in Strong Hearts because I'm obviously very aware of SCU, especially from when they're in Impact before they went to Ring of Honor. So I knew what I was getting out of those guys, so I was paying more attention to the Strong Heart guys, and I definitely enjoyed what I saw out of those guys.
No, SCU weren't in.
well, no. No, but the three, two of them, Kazarian and Daniels, were both in Impact.
Yes.
Because I especially remember, I especially remember watching in the early days of TNA, the feud between Daniels and AJ Styles.
Yep.
That was good shit right there.
All I can say is it was a good match.
It was a good match. A
couple of botches. But you can say that literally every match on the show, on the card. No one fucking bringing it up like they do whenever every day happens on fucking any botch happens on WWE. You'll hear about that for a fucking week. Then we get to Britt Baker, DMD, versus Nyla Rose versus Kylie Rae. And Brandi Rhodes inserting awesome clock into the match. Where to begin? Where do we begin, Mike?
With Awesome Kong being inserted into the match?
Say that again?
With Awesome Kong being inserted into the match?
Yeah, let's start there, shall we?
Since that isn't the beginning part.
So, remember when I said that one of AEW's things is to not be WWE? Why do we have a heel authority figure already in the very first fucking event?
Shoulder shrug?
That's what this is. This Brandi Rhodes thing. It's like playing out with her being a heel. Because for weeks she's been telling everyone, oh, I think you're going to win the match. And she tells us on the very same day, you're going to win the match. And then she introduces Awesome Kong. Right?
Yep.
My Facebook's going off like crazy. So yeah, just
it's not a good look with that right off the bat.
No. Also, can we talk about the fact that we're four matches into the card and we've had one singles match?
Yep.
Okay. Also, I feel bad for Nyla Rose. Because
she should have been the monster of the match. But then when you introduce Awesome Kong, that kind of takes
that away. Deflates everything else. Now, admittedly, Nyla Rose was the one to take Awesome Kong out of the match with the spear into the stairs.
Yep.
Right? But as was fairly obvious, Britt Baker comes out with the win. Like, she's been the face of their women's division for a while. She's probably heading into a program with Bea Priestley for the title. But we don't know that.
Yeah, because they also were promoting Sadie Gibbs.
Well, Sadie.
Sadie, sorry.
Not Sadie.
They did a vignette for Sadie Gibbs.
They did. But...
And not only that, but Allie was also on commentary.
She's got a match coming up with...
Brandi at Fight Brandi. For the Fallen.
And Brandi had already said that she was bringing a special friend to the Fight to the Fallen, which we now know is Awesome Kong. But again, we don't know where this leaves Britt Baker. We don't know where this leaves anyone in this match. Right?
Yeah.
So, on to the fifth match of the card. Best Friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta, defeated Angelico and Jack Evans.
Okay. Full disclosure, I still haven't seen the last 3 minutes of the match.
Have you seen what happens after the match?
I have seen what happens after the match.
Right.
And I will say this, before I lost the feed, I was loving this damn match.
It's a great match. It's a great match.
It definitely was a great match. I was loving it so much.
Great match. Then, at the end, they're getting ready to shake hands and hug, because that's the best friend's thing, they hug. Lights go down. Two people appear and beat shit out of them with a bunch of masked dudes. Right? And the whole time on commentary, the commentators are going, "You know who that is? You know who that is?" I'm like, "No, I don't."
And the crowd's even chanting, "Who are you?"
Well, no, they know who they are, but it's more the derisive "who are you" than the actual. Your average wrestling fan don't know who that is. And the reason why they weren't saying their name is because they didn't want to get sued to fuck. Because that was a tag team called Super Smash Brothers.
Sorry, hold on. I think I hear Nintendo on the line.
Yeah. Don't do a segment where your commentators know who people are and don't tell your audience. Just have the commentators pretend not to know.
Kind of like what Ring of Honor and New Japan did with Enzo and Cass.
Holy shit. Then that actually makes the audience members that don't know go, "I need to find out," instead of "just fucking tell me."
Yep.
Then we get to...
Six women's tag team match, which that is one of two matches that I have not seen.
Just don't. Don't.
I'm going to watch it out of spite, you, Ben.
Fine.
I don't know.
And when I get the message going, "Holy shit, I want 20 minutes of my life back," I'll say, "I told you so."
Well, let's be brutally honest. Well, we're done recording here. I'm going back to watching Omega versus Jericho. Because that's the other match I've seen.
Right. So... how do I put this without sounding like a horrible racist or a misogynist?
Just gonna duck off screen now.
I can't stand, and I understand this is a personal thing, I can't stand women pro wrestlers from Japan. I can't understand how they do high-pitched grunts and squeals every time they do a move. I don't like there was one of the people in this match, I couldn't even remember which one it is, who just basically had an epileptic fit all the way to the ring.
It's just not your cup of tea.
Just not for me. I'm sure what was there was good. Graps.
But it just wasn't your cup of tea.
Fun fact about the previous match, by the way. Best friends to us, which is Chuck Taylor and Trent Barrera against Angelico and Jack Evans. Did you know that that match confirmed that six-man tag team matches aren't tag team matches? Because that's during right. that match,
we were talking I'm not about sure
who that. It was. I think it might have been Excalibur, or it might have been Alex Marvez went first ever tag team match in the AEW, and I'm like, no, it's not. You've done had one.
Yeah, because we were talking about that earlier this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Also, every single person on their roster that is signed to be a referee is a senior official, because they said senior official before, like, five different people's names.
I can understand Earl Hebner being the senior official, because he's the longest tenured out of probably all of them.
Whatever.
But
just pick one to make your main referee. WWE can get away with having three because they've got three brands, right?
Yep.
At least one of those three should be head referee, not just senior official. Anyway. But yeah. Six-woman tag team match. Great graps. Things happen. I'm saying that a lot, and it will come to a point. Then we get to Cody versus Dustin?
Yeah, I believe so.
This
Talking
was
about a mission statement there.
This was the only match on the card I actually cared about.
I actually cared about it a lot too, because
right?
I really because we now, wanted to see that WrestleMania match. We never got it.
It's not just that. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I wanted to see certain performers. I wanted to see Adam Page. I wanted to see MJF. I wanted to see Jimmy Havoc. I wanted to see Angelico and Jack Evans. I wanted to see Nyla Rose. I wanted to see both teams in the Triple R World Tag Team match. I wanted to see Jericho and Omega. But I didn't care about their matches.
You just wanted to see them.
Just wanted to see them, right? I cared about this match because they actually put some effort into making us care about this match, which we'll come back to. It was a great match. Dustin might have gone a little too far with the blade job.
Yeah, I will say this because I watched it before we went live. There were times where I had to look away because it was a little...
Then you do not want to watch the very last Jimmy Havoc match in progress.
Because here's the thing. I don't mind blood, mm-hmm. but there comes a limit to it.
You definitely do not want to watch the last. Like, Jimmy Havoc is standing there with the microphone giving his goodbye speech, and he's like, I think I should stop because I'm fairly sure I'm bleeding out right now.
Like, it was Eddie Guerrero bad. Like, Eddie Guerrero Judgment Day versus JBL bad.
Yeah, that's nothing.
For Dustin, bad, but, that's what I compare it to.
I really like the fact that Brandy got thrown out. Like, that was a nice touch.
I liked how Diamond Dallas Page came out and actually carried
Literally, like, she was pulling the I fucking help own this company, I'm not going anywhere heel authority figure. And DDP was just nope. Okay.
But yet again, Cody was the heel in this match.
Well, he's been the heel in the entire fucking build-up.
Yep.
It should come as a shock to nobody that he was the heel.
Which apparently...
Yeah. Let's talk about the thing that happened during Cody's entrance.
The shot heard around the world.
The misdirected fucking shot, if I may say so.
Yeah, I remember seeing that on Twitter, because they posted the full clip of the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching that going, like, all right, that's kind of cool. But I thought we weren't going to go this direction.
It's not about that, right? If you're going to take a shot at someone in WWE, it shouldn't be Triple H, who's trying to make things better. It should be fucking... Now, I understand Triple H took shots at AEW in the fucking...
Hall of Fame,
right? But he was clearly fucking joking, right? You should be taking shots at Vince, not at Triple H. That's fucking stupid. That's really stupid. That's like saying, hey, that NXT thing that everybody universally says is like the best wrestling in America at the moment, maybe even on the planet. Yeah, the guy that made that is an asshole.
So apparently today Triple H hosted a media call.
Yeah.
Remote takeover. Regarding the shots he took at AEW during the Hall of Fame induction for DX earlier this year, Triple H said they took advantage of a fun moment to jab at AEW because Billy Gunn was there.
Yeah.
Billy Gunn works backstage. Triple H said they had to address the elephant in the room because that's what DX does.
Yes.
And he also indicated that most of it was improvised.
Yeah.
He was then asked about Cody Rhodes' sledgehammer shot at AEW Double or Nothing, but he would not directly acknowledge it. He went on to say that he doesn't think about it and he isn't focused on them or what they're doing or what anyone else is doing or what anyone else is and isn't saying. The direct quote is, for me, I don't really even think about it, to be honest. When it comes to this takeover, I just want to put out the best product possible. He continued by saying, I'm focused on the Saturday takeover and the brand and the bigger stars coming out.
You took a shot at the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So it's like, for Triple H, it didn't even faze him. He's focused on this Saturday.
Yeah, of course it didn't faze him.
Yeah. And honestly,
he's putting out some of the best wrestling ever.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's like, okay, you want to take a shot at Triple H? All right. Exactly 7 days later, he's putting out his show.
Mm-hmm.
Because you ain't really going to get it on Raw or SmackDown, because that's all Vince.
Nope.
You're going to get it with TakeOver 25.
No, you're not. That's the thing. You're not going to get a shot taken at AEW at a TakeOver. Because Triple H doesn't...
A shot not taken is also a shot.
Yeah.
A great fucking show, and that's all
no,
you
have. No, it's not. A shot not taken is not a taken. A shot aimed for and not taken is still a shot. A guy that just ignores you is not taking a shot. He's just literally not acknowledging you exist. That's not right. I'm sorry.
Should hop on the ice with me sometime. I'll show you what it means, like in ice hockey, in our terms.
Not doing ice hockey, but doing wrestling.
I know, but that's where some of my logic comes from. Keep in mind, 26 years of playing hockey.
Doesn't matter. You can't just universally apply that stuff, right? You can't.
Certain things can, but everything.
Tell me how a shot not taken is still a shot.
Oh.
Explain it to me.
So, one of the things that I've been able to do in hockey is if people are jawing at you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
While they're jawing, you're just going, okay, wait for it. You keep playing your game, you score a goal. Even though that guy was jawing at you, you went in and you scored the goal of the game, and he's looking.
It's not a shot. That's actually just playing the game.
Yeah, but the thing is,
that's not a shot.
For some,
the only kind of shot it is on goal. That's literally doing the point of the game. That is not taking a shot at someone.
We'll talk about it off air, but we have our own version of mind games that we play in hockey. It doesn't really work with wrestling.
It's hockey,
I know. Why did I just say there are certain things that I can do in hockey that will